Main Things Considered on MPBN Radio. I'm Nora Flaherty, and it's 5:30. Tonight on the program, Governor Paul LePage says he'll call the National Guard to help Maine deal with its drug crisis if the legislature doesn't fund more drug agents by December 10th. We'll have that story in a moment. First, this news. This is Main Things Considered. I'm Nora Flaherty. Mill managers, industry executives, state officials, foresters, transportation and energy experts gathered in Bangor today for a summit on the future of papermaking in Maine. Word yesterday that Verso Paper may sell its mill in Jay as it tries to restructure is the latest in a long series of setbacks to hit the industry. Jay Field was at today's summit, and he joins me now. Jay, what was the mood in Bangor today?
It was determined, Nora. Despite all the problems, paper remains the most lucrative product Maine exports, worth about $484 million in 2014. So you really had a room full of people there with a ton of incentive to find solutions to the problems that are ailing the industry.
So before we get into some of the possible solutions, why is this industry having such a hard time?
Well, energy challenges are a big part of the problem. There's just not enough natural gas coming into New England and into Maine specifically. And that's causing high electricity prices in the winter months and high natural gas prices. It's hard for the mills to shoulder these high energy costs and deal with all the other dynamics that make it so hard to turn a profit, things like foreign competition, falling demand for paper, and rising wood prices. The cost of wood has skyrocketed in recent years. Part of the reason for that is more people are heating with firewood and also pellets.
So what does Maine need to do to get through some of the challenges that they're facing here?
Well, on the energy front, and there was a big presentation on this at the summit, Maine really needs more natural gas pipeline capacity, another 2 billion cubic feet to be exact. There are projects underway, but it just seems like they can't happen fast enough. And really, Maine needs this extra capacity so it can get more of that shale gas coming from the Marcellus field down in New York and Pennsylvania and West Virginia. On the wood front, one of the big issues in the state of Maine is that so much of the forest land in the state is privately owned. So a carrot and stick approach to get more private landowners to allow forestry management plans on their property could help the situation. The state needs to develop new markets for fiber, such as electricity, heating, textiles, nanotechnology.
What is the sense about what the future is going to be in this industry in Maine?
I think people think the future could still be bright, but not unless some of these problems that we've been talking about get solved. But, you know, the writing is on the wall. People use iPads. People use Kindles. It's just a really, really tough sort of environment before you even consider all of these other challenges on the energy front, on the fiber front, on the transportation front. So it's still kind of hard to see, you know, what the path forward is.
State lawmakers and members of the LePage administration were invited to the summit. How did they respond to the challenges facing the industry?
You really sensed running through the summit these questions about whether our lawmakers and our governor, who've clashed so much over the last year or so, are really up to the challenge of working together. I talked to House Speaker Mark Eaves and Senate President Mike Thibodeau, and both say they want to work together in January when the legislature reconvenes. The governor's staffers who were there also talked about working together on a lot of the challenges facing the industry. But really, the proof is going to come in the actions, not in the words.
Okay, Jay, thanks so much.
Thank you, Nora.
This is Maine Things Considered on MPBN Radio. Still to come on the program, Governor LePage is once again saying he'll call on the National Guard to help deal with the state's drug problem if the legislature doesn't fund more drug agents. We'll take a closer look at that threat. But first, Yarmouth-based mapping and GPS company DeLorme faces a $6.2 million fine for patent infringement on a satellite communicator. Last week, the U.S. Court of Appeals upheld a decision by the International Trade Commission to penalize the company for violating an agreement regarding the alleged patent infringement. But the court also issued a decision on a separate case that found the patent in question was itself invalid. As Patty White reports, an attorney for DeLorme contends that the two decisions are in conflict.
DeLorme is probably best known in Maine for making trusty atlases and gazetteers. But at the heart of the patent infringement case is a different product altogether, a two-way satellite communicator. DeLorme calls it the InReach. It's a safety device for use in remote locations. Here's a promotional video with Steve West of Steve West's adventure series on the Outdoor Channel.
I go places that require a Super Cub, a jet boat, a float plane, or days by horseback.
In other words, places where there is no cell phone service.
And the DeLorme InReach is my only form of communication. Stay safe, stay in touch, and stay in reach.
While DeLorme has the InReach, another company called BriarTech, based out of Virginia, has a satellite communicator called the Serverlink. BriarTech's attorney, John Fuse, says BriarTech developed Serverlink first.
Rather than doing DeLorme doing business with BriarTech, DeLorme decided to go and make their own product overseas in Taiwan and undercut BriarTech in the marketplace.
So in 2012, BriarTech filed a complaint with the International Trade Commission for patent infringement. In response, DeLorme moved manufacturing of InReach to its headquarters in Yarmouth, and it agreed it would not sell imported two-way satellite communication devices, systems, or components that infringed on the patent. But Fuse says DeLorme violated the agreement because it made the InReach using imported parts.
And then, quote-unquote, said it's made in the United States. That didn't solve the fact that this product originally came into the U.S. from overseas.
The International Trade Commission slapped DeLorme with a $6.2 million fine, which the U.S. Court of Appeals upheld in a decision last week. But on the same day, the same court ruled in another case that BriarTech's patent itself was invalid.
That makes absolutely no sense. This is an agency that's supposed to be protecting domestic industry, not ruining it.
Peter Bran is a Lewiston-based attorney representing DeLorme.
The whole point is that the patent is not valid, and so there's no prospect of the ITC sticking their nose back in on this one.
BriarTech's attorney says DeLorme is still accountable for the agreement it entered. Both sides say they're considering next steps, which could include petitions for a rehearing or to take the case to the U.S. Supreme Court. DeLorme's CEO was unavailable for comment on this story. The company employs about 100 people. For MPBN News, I'm Patty White.
And finally today, Governor Paula Page has set a date for calling out the National Guard to assist in responding to the state's drug crisis. It's not clear what the Guard will do, but LePage says he's tired of talking about the problem and will take action. Legislative leaders on both sides of the aisle say they agree that government should respond, but they're repeating their call for a more comprehensive approach that includes expanded treatment. Mal Leary reports.
LePage wants lawmakers to call themselves into special session soon and provide the funding to hire 10 more drug agents. He says he is tired of talking about the problem.
On December 10th, I'm calling up the National Guard.
It's not clear what the governor will ask the Guard to do. It already provides analysts at every regional office of the Maine Drug Enforcement Agency and at the Maine Information and Analysis Center. And federal law prevents the Guard from acting as police. But LePage says he's tired of waiting for legislative leaders to respond to the problem.
They can give me a time specific on when they're going to do something, but they just want to meet and talk. I'm done talking. I'm done meeting. Everything meets is negative. They never want to do it. It's a blame game. We people are dying every single day.
This is important stuff. I need to talk to him.
Republican Senate President Mike Thibodeau says he has asked to meet with the governor for months to talk about the drug epidemic and other issues, but has not been able to get a meeting scheduled. He says the approach to the crisis has to be comprehensive, and that will require open communications between the legislature and the executive branch.
I need to talk to the Commissioner of Public Safety. Like to talk to the Commissioner of Health and Human Services. These are all people that have vital information, and we need them to share it with us so that we can make good decisions.
Thibodeau says he'd also like to hear the recommendations of the task force set up at the governor's drug summit. He says he's been working with Democratic House Speaker Mark Eaves on how to bring legislative committees into the discussion about the development of additional treatment resources and prevention efforts. Eaves agrees that the state must take a comprehensive approach to the drug crisis.
There are not enough treatment options here in the state. Either there aren't enough options or people don't have health insurance for the treatment. So they're sending them out of state. And we need to do more on the treatment side. We need to make sure that we're connecting the dots between the law enforcement and treatment side.
Eve says a special session on the drug problem in the next few weeks is a possibility. But lawmakers can't put together a comprehensive plan without the full cooperation of the governor and his commissioners. He says leaders are trying to set up a meeting with some of LePage's department heads later this week. LePage, however, will be out of state at the annual meeting of the Republican Governors Association. For MPBN News, I'm Mal Leary.
And at 14 minutes before 6, it's time to check the weather forecast with our meteorologist, Paul Cousins.
In this tranquil stretch of weather, another seasonably cold night unfolds. Starlit skies statewide, temperatures drop into the 20s, teens far north and in the western valleys. Tomorrow, sparkling sunshine launches the day. It will fade during the afternoon north and west, upper 30s to upper 40s north to south. Thursday, a couple of showers over western and northern Maine in the morning with rain late. Down east, a bit of morning sun, then overcast. Throughout southern and central counties, it will be a cloudy day with rain arriving late, 43 north, 52 south. Rain will be widespread Friday, but it should be ending during the afternoon over western Maine, 42 to 52 north to south. Partly sunny with a few showers north and down east Saturday. Partly cloudy throughout the rest of the state. Upper 30s north, low 50s south. This is meteorologist Paul Cousins for the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.
And that's Maine Things Considered. Thanks today to A.J. Higgins, Barbara Caridi, Keith Shortall, and Ed Morin. If you missed part of the program, or if you'd like to hear all today's Maine news again, or maybe for the very first time, you should check out our new podcast. It's called This Day in Maine. You can find it at mpbn.net and also in iTunes. I'm Nora Flaherty.